to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday. It's finally Friday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. That's how you get in touch with me. Coming up here in about an hour, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, making his weekly appearance on the program. But right now, joining us on the line, he's candidate for United States Senate, but he's also our Attorney General. Steve Marshall is with us. General, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. It's always good to be the appetizer for Chris Elliott, right?
That's what everybody who gets this time slot says. You get to be the warm-up act here.
Look, Chris is a powerful advocate. Love him. He's been great here.
Yeah. Well, we made him. I'm going to take credit for making him. This segment, that segment's must listen to radio for a lot of the political class, I would say, around the state.
But, and by the way, great week for Mobile. You know, I had a chance to be down there Monday and Tuesday. You know, not only the announcement, the port, the fact that we're now the deepest in the southeast, and then the Airbus announcement of the opening of the new line. I thought that was terrific news for the area, and was pleased to be able to come down and be a part of that.
Yeah, it was a big shindig this week, and it's good to see Mobile kind of trending in a pot. We hear so much about Huntsville, but this is important stuff.
I do think that the port sometimes gets ignored sort of statewide, but huge economic driver, and I think we'll see significant progress in the state as a result of that. But anyway, sorry about that interruption.
Oh, it's fine. Let's start here. Oh, how's the campaign going? I saw you from afar at the Auburn game. It was rambunctious pregame, not so much after the game. But how's the campaign going?
It's going well. I mean, still been all over the state. It was in Mobile twice this week. It's up in Huntsville and then parts in between over the course. And still getting positive feedback, very encouraged by kind of the response for folks, not only just sort of for what we're offering in the Senate, but also a recognition of kind of what we've done on the AG front. You know, it's really neat to just a couple of weeks ago get recognized nationally for being on the front line of the conservative movement and the successes that we've had in not only leading Alabama, but leading the country. And excited, I'll go up to Huntsville here in a couple of weeks to be recognized by the state party the county party in Huntsville for kind of the leadership we've shown as AG. And I think that's the distinguishing characteristic for me in running for this race, is that we've taken on the tough issues and then we've delivered results to the people of Alabama. And we want to be able to do that in DC next.
Yeah. And, we talked about it last time, getting the Alpha endorsement, certainly a shot in the arm. It's still my perception of this race right now. It still feels real early, obviously. And there's still a lot of drama to unfold, if you will. And I guess we're watching to see, movement, who's going to support who. And it seems like it's sort of coming together.
It is. Look, we're a little over 7 months away from a primary. I mean, it'll get here sooner than we think. But, really pleased to see the coalescing of groups. We talked about the Alpha endorsement. We've had the statewide contractors organization, ABC, is endorsed, and we put together a farmers coalition. We put together 50 AGs and DAs across the state from the law enforcement side, and we'll roll out more endorsements coming soon. But we'll see if the field is finally settled, and I know a lot of work to be done, but we feel good about where we are, but we're going to keep working hard.
Let's talk about this. I think we got to kind of hit on some things here. First off, you have an opportunity to really look into what happened yesterday at Supreme Court with the Louisiana oral arguments. Any thoughts on those?
Yeah, very encouraged. I mean, if you just, number one, the fact that the court relisted the case to specifically address a question that we think is fundamentally important here in Alabama, and that is, the ability of courts to order very specific districts that are minority-majority districts and whether or not that's compliant with the Constitution. And, I do think that, the Milligan case that we argued that came back adverse to Alabama in a 5-4 decision against us really laid out for the court the consequences that could occur as a result of not, at least at that point, accepting Alabama's arguments. And I think that's been now manifested and reflected in what's taken place in Louisiana. I do think there's buyer's remorse from the court as far as what they've ordered before. And if you look specifically, and I think we tried to follow the questions that Justice Kavanaugh asked and what the chief asked during oral argument this week, we were very encouraged to see that Justice Kavanaugh remains kind of committed to this idea of, is there not a point in time in which there needs to be a time limit around race-based remedial efforts? And, you know, when you look at the victories that occurred in the college admission cases about rejecting race-based preferences, you know, we think that same argument remains analogous to what's going on in the redistricting context. But, and remember, we have more than just simply our congressional case that's pending. You know, you also have the matter involving the state Senate district here in Mobile. That now is up before the 11th Circuit. And then maybe in that area, not follow as much, the Jefferson County Commission District case that the 11th Circuit granted the stay this week. And so we think things are moving in a very positive way. Our case right now on the congressional side is sitting with a cert petition at the Supreme Court. I will not be surprised at all based on what they ultimately do with the Louisiana case if our case is not sent back down for further consideration in light of what they decide to do. But I think if you read what both commentators in this space have written and then lawyers that are following the court, everybody seems to be very encouraged if you're in the position of Alabama about the direction it seems to be going.
What do you make of the timing of the 11th Circuit yesterday? I mean, part of me was thinking it can't be a coincidence. I mean, you have what happened in the Supreme Court on Wednesday to Thursday. They issued the stay. I mean, just happenstance, or what do you make of that?
No, there's a specific timing question in the Jefferson County elections to be able to implement what the district court wanted to be able to do. And to make sure that lines are drawn appropriately before ballots have to be identified and people being told where they are going to vote. This is a Supreme Court case called Purcell that we actually were able to use in the original appeal of the congressional case in Alabama to say there's just not enough time to do what the court commanded us to do. And the judges on the 11th Circuit used Purcell as a basis to be able to stay it. But I do think fundamentally, and it's the argument that we made to Judge Manasco in the state Senate case, is that a stay is appropriate in light of what the court's going to do in the Louisiana case. And I do think that whether they wrote about it or not, that clearly has got to be something in the back of their minds.
Yeah. And I you know, that seems to be the scuttlebutt regarding that. But I think what maybe the spring we'll get a little more clarity, right?
Right. And then we have also a stay request pending in the state Senate case involving the district here in Alabama. And so, in Montgomery. And so we'll see whether or not, as a result of the arguments yesterday, the 11th Circuit acts on that petition as well.
Joined by Attorney General Steve Marshall here on the program. The big story in this in Montgomery a couple weeks ago now with the shooting or the shootout, I guess, in downtown Montgomery on a big crowd there for the weekend. We thought we had a lot of this figured out, but it's still kind of a powder keg, obviously. But talk a little bit about that and the crime suppression units and what else needs to be done here to prevent any more bloodshed.
Yeah, the MAX unit, as we call it up here, has been extremely successful. You know, we've had 1,000 individuals picked up on outstanding warrants, had over 500 arrests, new arrests as a result of what they've done. It's been, I think, very successful there. But, you know, the issue in Montgomery the other night is just you had a huge crowd with not a big law enforcement presence at all. And that's when bad things happen with, I think you've even heard chiefs describe it here, local gangs that were part of that. And look, I think it's refreshing to be able to see the story out of Mobile this past week at the recruitment of law enforcement now to almost upwards of 500. And I think that's a great thing because when you have adequate law enforcement and then empower them to be able to do their job, they're able to do good things. Montgomery, they're dealing with a very different dynamic, is that rather than being at full strength, they are a force that is far, far less than what they've not only the city's budgeted, but what they need to be able to do their job. And when you had Montgomery with a state fair going on, you had two football games locally plus a concert downtown with an already depleted number of law enforcement officers, you know, these are where opportunities like this for bad things to happen can occur. And the Montgomery needs to find a way to bring more law enforcement into this community, and they need to be able to support them. I mean, that's the thing that I hear more and more, and that's going to take local leadership to be able to do it.
Well, are you surprised, like, when you make these comments and you talk about these things and get the pushback from the local leadership there, specifically the mayor? And it just seems like a weird time to have a back and forth publicly, but that's the way this unfolded.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be bashful and be able to say what's going on. I mean, partly in just supporting the local law enforcement. Interesting conversation I had, Jeff, one time with the MACS unit. Law enforcement officer came and found me. I was at just a local convenience store, and he was telling me that for the first time in a long time, he had backup when he made a stop of somebody, and it just showed him that at least somebody was there to be able to support him. I mean, I'm going to make sure and continue to echo that. I mean, it's a safety issue for our law enforcement officers. It's a safety issue for that community, and it's my responsibility to be able to talk about that. Everybody wants the community to be safe. It shouldn't be a Republican or Democratic issue, a conservative versus liberal. Everybody wants to be able to be safe in their own homes and safe in their own communities. And right now, when you have, for example, the Sheriff's Department, where they have been very proactive in trying to help, they have a waiting list of individuals wanting to be able to work for the sheriff and serve as a sheriff's deputy. We don't have that same thing in the city of Montgomery. People have to be able to look in the mirror and figure out why and find ways to be able to employ more law enforcement officers.
Well, how much of this, General, is it a gang problem we have in this state? I mean, I think that was certainly the case in Dadeville a couple of years ago. I think it's the case in Birmingham and Montgomery. And you almost got to take a different kind of approach with these sort of criminal aspects, right? General? Let's see. If you got me now, General, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
So my question was, do we have a gang problem in this state? Because I think that was certainly the case with Dadeville a couple of years ago. And then I think it's the case with Birmingham and Montgomery for sure. And having to grapple with that, like dealing with that, it seems like there's got to be a total different set of rules there or standards or protocol when dealing with the criminal gang element than, say, any other sort of element, especially when it's kind of these hostilities manifest themselves in public.
Yeah, I mean, we see revenge crimes, but you know, it's why we were so proactive two sessions ago to be able to give Alabama for the first time a bill to help aggressively deal with gang activity, and appreciate the fact that I think we got unanimous vote, Republican, Democrat, out of the Senate, and maybe only one dissenter in the House. And I think just this week we announced significant arrest of individuals associated with gang criminal activity in a rural county here in our state. I mean, and we're not necessarily, when we say gangs, people sort of default to the Bloods, the Crips, MS-13. But a gang is really just a group of individuals coming together to do bad things. And we were able to get enhancements of punishments, enhancements of crimes, mandatory minimums. And we need to be able to take advantage of these in local jurisdictions.
Yeah, and so, you know, but it's never, and I know Senator Barfoot, they got the bill done. They just had to tweak the language to make some of the other members happy. But, you know, these things still happen. I mean, does there need to be more done? And potentially, does the legislature need to do more? You know, there's a lot of talk right now about that and what direction they'll go. And you always got to kind of keep in the back of your mind, well, will they overreact, or, you know, like what's appropriate now? Because there is a clamoring out there for the state of Alabama to play a more active role in these crime infested places.
Yeah, I think, let me sort of take it in 2 points. One, on the gang side, I mean, again, just this week we announced, I think, 24 arrests, multi-county indictments, typically around Lee County here. So we have a gang bill that I think gives us a great tool. It's now just an opportunity for us to fully investigate and prosecute these individuals. So we have the tool out there. Now we need to be able to use it. And then, you know, Montgomery specifically, the legislature has options. You know, we saw the example of Jackson, Mississippi, where the legislature actually created a whole new police jurisdiction in and around the state capitol to ensure that there was sufficient law enforcement to be able to cover the area, to make sure that there was safety in that area. Or we could see, for example, already kind of a codification of what the governor and Aaliyah's announced of Capitol Police patrolling a little more area in downtown Montgomery. I do think, and I've had texts with the speaker and conversations with other members of the legislature, I think this is foremost on their mind, and they're looking for options and ways that they can be able to make a difference.
General, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but folks want to find out more about your campaign or anything else. How can they do so?
You know, SteveMarshallForSenate.com. You can go to the website, give us some information about kind of where we are and what we're doing. And then we're always out there on X talking about kind of where we are in the state and who we're talking to. So appreciate that interest and look forward to being able to serve him that way down the road.
Steve Marshall, ladies and gentlemen. General, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open.